Seekonk Supply. Never standing still, always on the move.
Dr. Tad returns every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. The Centers for Integrative Medicine and Healing has successfully treated thousands of patients with the natural power of acupuncture. Listen to the expert doctor at the nation's leading acupuncture clinic for the most natural and effective treatment. If you suffer from chronic pain like arthritis, headaches, sciatica, and more, tune in to the Dr. Tad Show every Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m. to learn more about the healing power of acupuncture. Call CIMH at 434-3550 or CIMH.com.
WEAN FM Wakefield Peacedale. News, traffic, and weather begins now on WPRO, Providence, a Cumulus station.
WPRO News now at 8 o'clock. I'm Doug Lizette. 24 hours haven't made a difference to Obamacare. The government health care plan still in place, but on the political side of things, plenty to talk about. Here's correspondent Bob Constantini.
President Trump reacting after Republican infighting forced the cancellation of a vote on the bill to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I'm disappointed because we could have had it. I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you.
Second in command among Democrats in the House, Steny Hoyer says he's not surprised. The bill polled poorly and Republicans were afraid of major change. After all, Hoyer says Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 2.8 million.
The Electoral College didn't have that result. I get it, but more people in America voting for president voted for the candidate who wanted to keep the Affordable Care Act.
It will be kept for the time being, but Republicans insist it is in such trouble as to need replacing some point down the road. Bob Costantini, Capitol Hill.
Rallies aplenty today in Providence. The Journal with a rundown of this morning's demonstrations, both for and against the president. A pro-Trump group will be marching from City Hall at 11 a.m., while a rally intended to disrupt the Trump fans will step off from the State House also at 11. Will there be a head-on clash of opposing ideas? Well, we should know a few hours from now. Woonsocket police say they've recovered a stolen AK-47. WPRO's Paul Zangari has the details.
The Kalashnikov rifle was reported stolen.
The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dr. Pettirudi here on WPRO with Shannon. Good morning, Shannon. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good.
You know, we are lucky people. Do you know why?
Why?
Because when we woke up this morning, we were in Rhode Island. How great was that, huh, Nick?
It's pretty good, huh? It's a nice place.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, the whole country, if they knew how cool it was to live here, would be here. And, you know, we have on the radio today, one of our guests is going to be one of the reasons why Rhode Island is so cool, and he's going to tell us about it. It's part of what I call the social infrastructure of a region. When you think about what makes economies go, we talk about highways and we talk about tax structure and all these other attributes. One of the most important ingredients, think about Austin and think about Nashville, right? These are two booming towns with a lot of energy, a lot of young people flowing into them. Nick, do you know anybody that's headed down? You're a young guy.
I actually do. Yeah. I actually do. I know a few people that are heading down to Texas. That's where they want to go after college.
And what's the buzz happening? What's the draw?
Jobs. Lots of tech jobs, apparently. Lots of jobs in this sort of industry.
A lot of jobs. And the other element there is fun.
Yes.
These are fun towns. And so one of our guests today, Sham, he is an elixir of fun, and he helps to make Rhode Island go. Part of what I call social infrastructure. If you don't have it, nobody wants to live there. Who wants to live in a place that's boring and dull?
Not me.
No. So, you know, just like we think about all these other elements as being important to the economy, that too. But good news, on the job front, the unemployment rate in Rhode Island went down. That's good news. And today, before we depart in this most critical hour of radio, you're going to hear about warnings from conventional medicine, a drug for irritable bowel that caused death in some cases that you need to know about, and also a very popular drug for sciatica that proved to be a total failure in its treatment. And we're gonna highlight both. You know, but first, we'd like to take a moment and give you our intellectual medicine perspective on healthcare. How much time do we have here, Nick? So I got enough time to fix the healthcare system, don't I?
Oh, boy.
Now, you know, Obama couldn't do it, and Trump couldn't do it, but Shannon, you and I are going to do it. What do you think?
Of course.
Okay, so intellectual medicine is a new approach to healthcare that, at its core, embodies all the elements of advanced science, the best of Western medicine, and the most critical elements of complementary care. The core objective is to live to be 120 years. Now, that may seem fantastical, but at a recent meeting of anti-aging and life extension scientists, now these are not doctors, these are PhD types, the majority of people felt the 120-year lifespan to be plausible and achievable. The questions we need to start asking is, why aren't we getting there? Now, I say this as a prelude to my critique of the healthcare system in the United States. Now, it's not a healthcare system. It's a sick care intervention. Now, as we discuss this, we must first turn our focus to the crisis in the automotive insurance industry, the catastrophe in the homeowner insurance industry, and we both know, we know that the government must step in instantly or else. No. No. There's no
They're
crisis
fine.
In these arenas. No. These are commodities, correct? They are commodities that we purchase, much like food. Now, food is a commodity, wouldn't you say?
I would think so.
Is food a right? This is where we deviated when we defined health care as a right rather than a commodity. Now, something can be an essential commodity. You cannot live without food. I would dare say that food is more important to you than your health insurance. You cannot live without good shelter. I'd say that's more important than your health insurance. Yet both are treated like free market commodities. Yes, we have a welfare system and a safety net, and we can argue that it needs to be more robust. But the point here is that food is widely available at a great price. In fact, the percentage of the household budget spent on food has gone down over the past 50 years. And that is an example of free market at play. So we don't call upon the government to regulate food prices the way we're calling upon them to regulate health care. Obamacare is in place. The attempt to overturn it has failed. It doesn't matter. These are all shuffling around chairs on the deck of the Titanic. You know, when I graduated medical school, it'll be 30 years this June. Can you believe that?
30 years.
30 years ago. What were you doing 30 years ago, Shan?
Oh,
You were in high school. I don't know. Not even.
Not even.
All right. Well, let's
move not
on.
Go there.
So 30 years ago, when I graduated medical school, healthcare was in crisis. It will always be so. As long as it remains the purview of the government, we have, in essence, a blended welfare system for healthcare. It should be, in my opinion, more free market-based. Now, there are those who feel quite opposite, that it should be completely the arena of government, and it should be 100% government-dispensed healthcare. This is the debate and the fork in the road. You will never, folks, you will never have price control and quality as long as the person receiving the service is not responsible for the bill and the one dispensing it is not accountable for the money being dispensed. Let me give you a quick example. Patient comes to see me, he's having a headache. You do a thorough exam and assessment and you render a diagnosis and an opinion. Patient is grateful, takes treatment, perhaps gets better. Another scenario, the patient has unlimited healthcare access. They want an MRI of their brain now. Why? Because it cost them nothing. $1,000 study, bang, done. I like to say that I become a genius when the money comes out of their pocket. And therein lies the ultimate filter on the system. The best of healthcare systems would have, at its core, a free market base. How great would it be if you went into your doctor's office and there was a price list out front? How great would it be when you got your blood work done, there's a price list, and you could discuss the price beforehand? Or if you go into the hospital, likewise. Insurance should be there for catastrophic events. When you need to put gas in your car, when you need new tires, you need new brakes on your car, you don't turn to your insurance company and say, you know, if you don't give me brakes, my car might crash and that'll cost you more money. There's a presumed responsibility for maintenance that falls to you. Therefore, you invest in your vehicle. And we think nothing of spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on our car for maintenance. Yet when it comes to our own care, we sometimes neglect it completely. Shouldn't insurance pay for that is the philosophy of some. At Intellectual Medicine, we have brought anti-aging, life extension medicine to the common man. You don't need to be rich to do this type of medicine. And we're going to be talking to one of our clients after the break who's really availed himself of a full range of intellectual medicine, the primary care element, its life extension, detoxification. And when you weave this together, not only do we believe you're going to tilt the balance in your favor for extending life, but you're going to feel better while you're doing it. You know, Shan, some folks will say, man, I don't want to live to be 120. You know, they have this mind's eye picture.
Of course. They see their great-grandparents and, you know, everyone around them who's 90 and can't walk and feeble.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, if you're feeble at 80 and 90, what's it going to look like when you're, you know, 110? Well, people don't like that image. We're redefining what that arc looks like. Our people are stronger, faster, better looking, jump higher, run quicker.
Of course they are.
Than the average human.
They are.
Well, they are better looking. It's a purely objective opinion. So we're going to be talking after the break. We're going to also be talking about a new evidence about the strong power of vitamin C and its capacity to maintain health and fight infection. And this is coming out of some of the mainstream literature as well. Then we'll answer the age-old question, tea or coffee. Nick, what do you drink in the morning, tea or coffee?
I actually don't drink either.
You don't drink either. So,
no.
Okay. Well, you're a pretty clean-living guy.
Yeah, I am.
Well, you know, that goes
I'm
along
bland.
With your high-intense lifestyle, right? You
get that, exactly, yeah.
Get that 3 hours of sleep every night, whether or not you need it.
Yeah.
How about you, Shan? Tea,
oh,
coffee.
Oh, coffee. Yeah. Tea just seems like a waste. Although we drink it, and it tastes good.
It's good.
I don't know.
Well, you know, we'll answer the health element of that question later in the show. But I'll be back. This is Dr. Steve Pedderudi with Shannon. You are listening to Intellectual Medicine on WPRO. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Yes, indeed, folks, that is us. We're leading the revolution in medicine. I'm Dr. Steve Pedderudi at Intellectual Medicine. You're listening to WPRO with Dr. Pedderudi and Shannon. What do you think, Shannon? You feel like leading a revolution?
I think we are.
Well, we are. You know what, folks? We submitted our paperwork with the state. Rhode Island is now becoming the official birthplace of intellectual medicine. The franchise disclosure documents will allow us the freedom to start to spread this form of medicine to other doctors throughout the region and ultimately throughout the country. There's a huge demand for this type of care. It is way beyond what conventional medicine has degraded into. And, you know, we could, I think, best hear it from somebody who's been served by it. So up next, we have Eric. Eric, thanks for being with Steve and Shannon on Intellectual Medicine. Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Well, I'm great. You know what? Part of the reason why I'm great, Eric?
Why is that?
Because I live in Rhode Island, and we have one of the best social infrastructures in the country, I think. I was talking about that earlier. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that portion of the show. But I maintain that part of the drive that runs economies, that draws in business, that draws in talent, is how much fun the location is, where people live. What do you think about that philosophy?
I agree, and I certainly do everything I can to try to encourage that and be part of that.
Well, you succeed, and we'll be talking about that during the show. But, you know, it all starts from our internal sense of energy, Eric. And so often in medicine, conventionally, we look at health as the absence of disease. You're not dying. You don't have cancer. Therefore, you are well. And that really is kind of shy of the mark. So I thought you might share with our listeners, because you've been with us now, I've taken a look since 2015. You know, how did you first find us, and what sort of things drove you to come to intellectual medicine at the outset?
Well, I think you summed it up perfectly with conventional medicine. I had been through some major surgeries and been through a lot of doctors. And without making a long story, I just never felt well after the process. I spent a couple of years trying to just feel better. You know, I was gaining weight. I couldn't lose. My mood was generally not good. Just an overall sense of not feeling well. Nobody ever really had an answer for it. It was always any doctor, you know, they take your blood pressure, do whatever it was, and just tell you, well, you're fine now.
You got that 5 minutes of time with your doctor, you know, whether or not they, you know, it's almost as if within 5 minutes, they've done studies, Eric, and they found that the average doctor listens to his patient for approximately 18 seconds, makes up their mind what they're going to do in approximately the first 60 seconds, and the rest of the time they're just waiting for you to shut up so they give you a script and get you out the door. Unfortunately.
Which, for the most part, it describes my process. Even when I did find a doctor that did want to take the time, it seemed like I had to go through so many tests and I had to wait so many months even just to see the doctor that there was no way for me to get anywhere with it.
Now, I was going to say, when you started, there must have been a little sense of skepticism. You know, here you are in this new arena and wondering, God, is this going to really work?
Yeah, I mean, you get to the point, I guess, where you're almost willing to try anything. And to give my brother a little bit of credit for having gone through maybe about 10 years of the same symptoms that I have been feeling, he kind of had a jump on the gun. Yeah. So through conventional medicine, it only took him about a decade for them to finally figure out he had low T.
Yep.
So that being said, going into a doctor and saying, test me, they want to make sure they can, do everything else first. So... Yeah. I like to listen to podcasts. I'll do a lot of research on my own. I was to the point where I was debating actually going to Vegas to try to see a doctor. And then luckily I live in Warwick, and the Pederuti Center came up in a Google search of all things.
Yeah.
So I came to you, and within months, you had talked to me for more time in maybe two sessions than any doctor had talked to me for the rest of my life. And we had sorted out quite a few deficiencies.
Go ahead.
Now I just not only do I feel better, I feel better than I thought I could. I feel great. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, we've got some of the numbers here to share too. And at age 36, the notion of having a hormonal imbalance doesn't often enter the arena, and the ability to diagnose and focus on that is a piece of the puzzle. Back then, you were at 251 pounds with a percent body fat of 32, and now you're clocking in percent at 24 at 218, lean and strong. The changes, we also identified elevated levels of lead. And lead interferes with the function of the pituitary gland and can interfere with hormonal levels. It can also be corrosive to brain health, accelerating dementia and cognitive impairment. It also is one of the escalators of heart disease. So, Eric, even though you may not be targeting this, you know, Shannon and I are targeting it for you. That is living to be 120, because we think you're a pretty cool guy, so we think you're worthy of 120 years. So it creates that foundation for it as well. And, over time, you've done some chelation therapy with us as well.
Correct.
And how does that feel when you're doing the chelation? If you could just kind of give a quick summary for our listeners about that. That's a process where we do intravenous high-dose vitamins along with calcium EDTA for the purposes of cleaning out toxic heavy metals, helping to keep arteries open and protect brains. So how's that process going for you?
It's been great. The center itself is beautiful. You hear about IVs, and you can be a little bit apprehensive at first, but it's comfortable, it's quick, it's easy. And it definitely is contributing to overall, I'm feeling much, much better. I can only imagine, besides the lead, I have had a high aluminum, and we've targeted a few other things that I guess are pretty common with the Rhode Islanders with our
wonderful pollution. See very high cadmium levels in Rhode Island, which is a carcinogen. It's one of the reasons we feel that Rhode Island leads the nation in per capita cancer. So we're going to continue to fight this good fight, keep you lean, fit, anti-aging. Now, we also do facial anti-aging, and the whole office just took note of how you're just glowing. It's just exciting to watch, and in your line of work, that's most critical, because you are part of the entertainment solution for Rhode Island. Give us a quick synopsis of what your business is about.
Correct. Yeah, I'm a co-owner of a Coliseum nightclub. We're the largest nightclub downtown, and we focus on nightlife. We're 18 plus, and we're open weekends and then for functions during the week.
Yep.
And it's kind of important to look the part and feel the part, especially a lot of late night.
Well, you know, Eric, when you have great energy, like you do, you can project that in every aspect of life. And I've had so many people come back and say, boy, this has been an enhancement in my relationships, an enhancement in my business, in my daily routine. When you have more to give, you can give more. And that's coming off you. And the Coliseum is a fantastic resource for Providence and for Rhode Island. And I know that you're very conscientious in your business and provide a great outlet for young Rhode Islanders to go and enjoy themselves in a safe place.
Yes, correct. Yeah, we're very conscious of responsible nightlife in downtown. And we're a huge part of trying to keep the nightlife in downtown Providence vibrant.
Well, it needs to be vibrant, and people have to understand that these young folks are not just an annoyance. They are our future, and they want to be entertained. And, you know, I'm advocating that we should not have any closing times in downtown Providence. Shan, what do you think?
I know.
Leave them open. Let people do what they want, right?
Right.
Why do we have a forced closing time? Mm-hmm. New York City doesn't have it, right? They don't have any problems.
And now with the advent of Uber, I mean, the old adage was, you know, people driving, things like that. But the later we're allowed to stay open, which, to give the city a little credit, they've given us an extra hour.
That's awesome.
The safer it becomes downtown, which is great.
Well, Eric, I know you're all about safety and fun and good health. It's been great having you on the show. Folks, next up is WPRO News Center with Doug Lizette. Doug, what's happening in the world, buddy?
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
We are back. This is Dr. Pettirudi talking to the most intellectual audience in all of America. That would be you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm here with Shannon. Yes, folks, living 120 is possible, and we are here to guide you and lead you along that path. You just heard from Eric. When he saw us, he was starting out at age 36 and not thriving. A lot of drag. You know, too often in anti-aging medicine, it becomes analogous to or the equivalent of bioidentical hormone replacement. Now, those of you listening to the show know that we believe at Intellectual Medicine that you must replace your hormones or suffer the consequence, be you man or woman, at some point in your life. For women, the average age where that needs to be considered can be as young as the late 30s, and for men, more often in the 40s and 50s, although the symptoms and the labs drive the decision. Having said that, hormones are only a component of anti-aging. Now, if you simply put testosterone into a male and you don't address adiposity or body fat, the fat cells will convert testosterone into estrogen, neutralizing the benefit. And if you don't put a focus on arterial health, you will deprive that individual of a chance to avoid vascular disease. And if all you do is testosterone, you will shrink the testicles and wither a lot of functionality, sexual function, energy function. This becomes nuanced medicine, and Intellectual Medicine delivers that detail. In fact, when it comes to heart disease, Shannon, did you know many people feel heart disease is an inevitable consequence of being a human being?
I would think so.
It's just
what happens.
What happens? You live long enough. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, you've got calcified arteries, but that's normal for your age?
Oh, of course. You're tired. You know, same thing. That's just what happens.
Just what happens. Yeah. Folks, that is not a consequence of chronologic agings. You should go to your grave with robust energy and open arteries. In fact, this may sound a bit like paradoxical, but you should die in the prime of your life at about 120 years, with robust energy, right? It'll be like, hey, where'd Steve go? I mean, he was just here yesterday playing golf. No, man, he died last night. Oh, man, that sucks. You know, but you die at 120, right? They call that the rectangular lifespan, not the, oh, man, thank God he died. The poor thing was suffering so much. That begins right now when we're young. So they did autopsies on some, or studies, not really autopsies, studies on some of the mummies in Egypt, and they found vascular disease. Then it reinforced the notion that arteries harden over time. They recently did a study on an Aboriginal people in the Amazon, and they found that two-thirds of the individuals over 75 years old had zero, nothing, no plaque, clean arteries, two-thirds over 75. Now, these are Homo sapiens just like us, but their arteries are whistle clean. Compare that to the United States, where 85% of us over the age of 40 have some plaque formation in our arteries. That, folks, is an environmental disease. Now, Shannon asked off the air, why? What's the difference? The answer is we're not certain of all of the elements, but there are some variables that seem important. One of them is they have physically active lifestyles. Not intense, but they just walk a lot. The other is they're relatively lean. They don't have morbid obesity. And they control for things like cigarette smoking, etc. But they eat a diet high in plantains and aboriginal fruits and vegetables. So we got a couple choices, folks. You can either A, move to the Amazon, or B, figure out what we can do in real time right here that's going to protect our arteries. It's not enough just exercise. We all saw that sad story of the Biggest Loser trainer who had a heart attack in his 50s, right? Lean, fit, non-smoking with exercise. We know that lead is corrosive to your arteries. We know that there are certain supplements that can maintain elasticity. So this proves that it's an environmental phenomenon and that it can be modified if not reversed. But first you have to know it's there. Look for the calcium in the arteries. Don't just check your cholesterol. That's one of the things that we advocate and recommend that you do. Likewise, look at the elasticity. At Intellectual Medicine, we advocate regular pulse wave velocity measurement so we can tell how old your arteries are, not just how old you think they are. Too often people feel great. They'll say, but I feel great, doc. Yeah, how did the guy feel the moment before the ice cracked? Dry? Healthy? That's what we're looking for. To live 120, you can't die early. Now, we were asking earlier, coffee or tea? So the short answer is that coffee's been shown to be neutral with regard to heart disease. And this is a number of studies. It's gotten a bit of a bad rap. You ever hear people say, oh, I got to quit coffee. Like, my pressure's high. I got to quit coffee. You really don't, folks. If you enjoy coffee, moderation, and moderation is about 5 cups per day. And they found in another study that tea drinkers had less heart disease, less calcified plaque. They only had to drink 1 or 2 cups per day. Now, that's great, except for, have you found a green tea that you like?
No.
I have.
Not
you
yet.
Know, the only one I like, Teavana. They have that place up in the Providence Place Mall.
It's good, but it takes forever to make it.
I know. So tea, and you'll see this sometimes in supplements, the capsules that have green tea extract are of unknown merit. Now, there are some liquid supplements that may have some value. Now, does anybody know anybody going to the hospital? We had a patient recently admitted to the hospital. Now, when an intellectual medicine patient goes to the hospital, we have to swing an action to try to save them from being harmed. Now, take note, folks, and this is what you need to do for you or a loved one who goes to the hospital. High-dose probiotic every day you are there. High-dose. A study found a 50% reduction in a potentially life-threatening infection known as Clostridium difficile. In medicine, we abbreviate it as a C. diff, capital C, period, diff, D-I-F-F. This is an overgrowth of pathological bacteria. It seems everybody goes to the hospital, Shan, gets high-dose antibiotics.
All the time.
All the time. And they wipe out their gut, and the C. diff overwhelms them, and it can lead to death. 50% reduction with probiotics. So, you know, my patient, I had a diabetic patient recently go to the hospital, and consequently, we told him, we gave him a supply of high-dose probiotics, said, you got to hide this, because they'll take it from you.
That's right.
You
got to
hide it.
Can you tell him, what do you consider high dose?
Well, in the hospital, we're going over 100 billion units. One of the problems with probiotic is just that. It's become the new buzzword, right? It's the new darling of the functional medicine set. Now you've got everything with toothpaste with probiotic in it, right? A couple of issues here, folks. One, are those probiotics alive or dead? In one study, 70% of the probiotics on the label were dead. And that's because they are fragile. These are biological entities. They're subject to shipping injury, you know, if it's heat. So many of them have to be refrigerated. The other issue is their shelf life. So when they label a probiotic, that's the amount of probiotic as it leaves the factory. Gets shipped in a truck, maybe sits in a warehouse, maybe gets overheated. You don't know what you're taking. You must be astute to make sure you get high-quality sources. The two species, now probiotic would be like saying antibiotic, right? That is a class. And within that class are many different species. The two that keep coming up as having the most merit, Lactobacillus and Bifido. Those two seem to be most efficacious. Now, we advocate in intellectual medicine a probiotic as a daily routine for most people. Most of us eating a Western or semi-Western diet are obliterating our gut of healthy bacteria. And unfortunately, Shan, in medicine, it seems like you go to the doctor, you get an antibiotic as a door prize as you leave. Right? Every sniffle, every cough gets treated with an antibiotic. Now, what do they teach you in as you're studying nurse practitioner about upper respiratory infections? And
No antibiotics, right?
No. Because?
It's viral. It's not going to help.
Not going to help. Mm-hmm. But what do you do? You're coughing, you're hacking, you're bringing up colored phlegm. Hey, if I'm bringing up colored phlegm, isn't that a sign?
But it's colored. I'm blowing my nose and it's colored.
It's colored. Absolutely no relevance, folks. So the reason we're bringing this up is because when you take antibiotics, it can obliterate the gut of healthy bacteria for up to 6 or 12 months. You string that together and you know what happens? Immunologic weakness. Problems with weight gain. You know why they put antibiotics in animal feed? Because it makes them fat. It makes them gain weight. And there's a connection between bacteria in your gut and the health of your brain. So all these things link together. That's why we advocate a regular dose of about 30 billion units. When you go to the hospital, you got to amp it up. Remember, sneak it in there, or else Nurse Ratchet's going to grab it from you. So in the hospital, you're going to drink tea. You're going to take your probiotic. And wouldn't it be great if you get vitamin C in the hospital, Shan?
Oh, you imagine.
High dose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, awesome. So you can't take antibiotics for that bronchitis, but what can you do? Now, what's the name of the drip we have?
The Shield?
The Shield.
Flu Fighter?
I like the Shield. Mm. Shield's awesome.
The Shield is.
So we have developed at Intellectual Medicine in our drip bar high dose infusions of vitamin C. Now, vitamin C is a well-known supplement. It's known to be an antioxidant. It neutralizes free radicals. Now, that's wonderful for regular use. We do advocate it on a regular basis to help extend lifespan, maintain immune function. Free radicals, and those are molecules that are lacking an electron. Those are the suckers that burn out our brain and can accelerate aging. But there's an interesting thing that happens, Shan, when you take that vitamin C, as you well know, and you deliver it intravenously, it becomes pro-oxidative. It becomes toxic to viruses, toxic to the spirochete that causes Lyme, toxic to bacteria, and most excitingly, perhaps, toxic to most cancer. So you can awash your body with safe, high-dose vitamin C and obliterate those entities. Now, conventional medicine continues to push back against this value to the detriment of patients. A study done in CHEST, a conventional medicine study, found that sepsis, an overwhelming bacterial infection that kills people in the hospital, almost impossible to treat. This one brave doctor, Dr. Paul Marek, started giving his patients high-dose vitamin C in the hospital, Shan. 150 patients with sepsis. You know how many died? One. One out of 150.
It's amazing. But that study, you know, really count. I mean, no one's really going to look at it.
He said something, and you're right. Unfortunately, this may be dead on arrival. And at the end, he said, Dr. Paul Marek, quote, nobody's going to make money, end quote. Why? Mm-hmm. You can't patent vitamin C. So conventional big pharma will yawn despite the fact lives are being saved. It's going to be hard to make money. Well, we're bringing it to you folks every day. Stay tuned. We've got more important health-saving, life-saving announcements. I'm Dr. Pedderini with Shannon. This is Intellectual Medicine on WPRO. A hot summer
night. WPRO and Express Sweepings presents the Spring Cleaning Giveaway. WPRO wants to help you clean your home both inside and out. Go to 630WPRO.com and tell us what your spring cleaning project is and qualify to win weekly prizes. This week, win a $200 gift certificate from Greenworks Lawn Service. Greenworks Lawn Service, call today for a free no-obligation estimate and lawn analysis at 41521-LAWN. Spring Cleaning from Express Sweeping and WPRO.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I'm Dr. Pedderini. We are back. We're just talking off air. You know, the Coliseum, Eric, our guest today, is a part owner of the Coliseum in Providence. It's a nightclub in Providence. You want to go to the Coliseum, Shan?
I don't know what the ages there. I think we might be a little out of our league.
I think I'm too old to go there, and I'm 21.
No, come on, Nick. You can get away with that. I was talking to Eric. So they've got a wide range of age groups there.
Yeah, you know. Maybe for a study we go there and watch. But
like an anthropologic study.
Exactly.
Nick, we'll take note that Eric will get a signed copy of my new book, The Cancer Machine, my fiction novel that is available now on Amazon, right?
Yeah, no, 53 minutes, I'm surprised, into the show. First time you mentioned it.
I know. You know, I keep forgetting that I am a triple M. You know what a triple M is, right? I'm an M cubed.
No, I don't.
It is a multimedia mogul.
Oh, my God.
I'm working on that ego thing. It's you know, my self-esteem is really dampened, but no, we are happy to be on air with you sharing this information. And folks, I wrote this novel. Its origin started before I went to medical school. I wrote the first sentence and I conceived of a notion. What if a brilliant young medical student actually discovered a cure for cancer? Would the world embrace it? What would happen? And that premise drove the book. And the book is called The Cancer Machine. It's a fiction novel with its reality firmly its premise firmly based in reality. A page-turning read. You can get it on your Kindle. It'll be out in paperback soon. And when it's out in paperback, we will be doing book signings, will we not?
Of course. Come on.
You can
turn that away.
you can come to me with your medical questions, all that cool stuff. But, hey, I promised you we would protect you from the harms of conventional medicine. And that's what we're going to do. So those of you suffering with irritable bowel, listen up. Those of you suffering with sciatica, pay attention. And a study, excellent study, was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, demonstrated that the popular drug Lyrica had no benefit with regard to nerve pain from sciatica. Now, that's an important detail because the drug is heavily promoted. I tell you, Shen, when's the last time you saw somebody come in and say, wow, you know, I had horrible pain. I took Lyrica. Now I'm better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
Never,
happen.
No.
It's an agent that causes fatigue and weight gain, dry mouth. I just, you know, and I don't know, I can say that on air, right? This is my opinion based upon my medical observations that this is a drug that is overpromoted, overhyped, and that there's more profit than substance. There are so many better ways to treat pain and nerve pain in particular. We talk about the pro-inflammatory state of the body. It needs to be neutralized. And that, folks, is complicated and integrated work. And you heard from Eric, that vitality he has, it's more than just hormone. There's a reduction of free radical assault. And everybody that is suffering pain is underwater in free radical assault. So that's a drug, if that's what you're on, and if it's solving your problem, then kudos, and I'm happy for you. But if it's not quite hitting the bell, there's a better path. Another one, and this is important, Viberzi is a drug promoted for treating irritable bowel. You know what irritable bowel is, Shan?
We have no idea what's wrong with you. So that's your label.
Irritable bowel is a label they put on you when your gut bugs you. You have cramps and diarrhea, and they don't know why. You know, you got to give it a name. You know why you have to give it a name, Shan?
Why?
Because you can't get paid if you don't have a name.
That's right.
For
you got to diagnose something. You need a code.
You need a code. You have irritable bowel disease. Irritable bowel syndrome. Oh, thank you, doctor, for that diagnosis. You know, that means your gut hurts and we don't know why. You know, you got to get beneath it. The gut is central to your immune system, your neurological health, and very complicated, very nuanced. You know what we have found? An inordinate number of people suffering with gut issues have subclinical low thyroid. You will test the thyroid. It'll come back normal in the blood test, but their symptoms will evaporate when their thyroid is properly balanced. And another cohort will end up with leaky gut syndromes, inflammation, and when you reduce the free radical load, their gut magically gets better. So Viberza correlated with pancreatitis and inflammation of the pancreas and early death in some people. And lastly, we have to mention this, you should not get your joint replaced unless you come see us. A study done found that the median time span from a joint replacement until a revision, 4.4 years. In men in their 50s who had knees replaced, there's a greater than 35% probability you will need to have it redone while you're alive. Now, that probability is grossly underestimated because you're going to live longer than they think. The moral of this story is come see us first. It's complicated, but there are ways to protect your joint. You don't have to cut out perfectly good biological material. that's capable of healing itself. I've heard this before, Shan, right? You have bone-on-bone arthritis. That sounds ominous, right? It's like,
it
end
does.
Of line. You have 6 months to live. You have bone on bone. You know when I first heard that phrase, Shan?
Were you like 20?
Yes. They uttered it to me then. And here I am about to be 58 and enjoying a high quality of life with a knee that is, it's kind of scary to look at, but it doesn't feel so bad. You ever notice why I never wear shorts?
I kind of know now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not a pretty sight. Anyhow, bone on bone can be cured. There are ways to treat it. Folks, stay tuned every week. We are Intellectual Medicine. This is WPRO. We are the voice of Southern New England. Who's coming up next, Shan?
Big Blue Bug.
Tony DeJesus, our friend. Big Blue Bug Solution. So stay tuned to the most intellectual radio station in all of America. This is WPRO. Thanks to Nick behind the glass. We will be seeing you next week at Intellectual Medicine.